This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston. Let's get in the loop.
The question is, how do the people feel about this? 713-572-4610. Shout out to all the loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's sports leader, Sports Radio 610.
A lot of questions to be asked, a lot of reactions to be had. Sports are back, 4-1 over the weekend. Nice little two-piece of two-piece combos. Astros winning, but there are a lot of questions. Rockets winning, and there's a lot of reaction. And Deshaun Watson, along with the most polarizing figure, maybe not just with the Texans, but maybe in the entire city. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. It is Reaction Monday. John Lopez, business is picking up.
Business is definitely picking up, and man, this is a great, great week to be out here, man, to be on the radio talking to our friends, the loopholes, and certainly no shortage of news. And I mentioned to Sean when we were doing the proverbial toss there, let's not sleep on what happened Saturday. It's a lot of sports to talk about, and it's going to be fun to talk about Rockets and Astros and injuries and I guess co-general managers and defensive ends called JJ and everything. Deshaun talking contract, all that. That's huge right there. It's going to be fun talking about the games, but we can't ignore that stuff.
The Rockets obviously had a couple big wins this week. I know a lot of people are going to try to make more of it than needs to be made. I don't want to speak for you, but to me, two nice wins for the Rockets. I'm not trying to like pat them on the head and say good job, buddy.
No, they're big wins.
But I think in this style, where it's a little bit wild ass and where everybody's trying to find their legs.
Yeah.
I actually think the small ball style that the Rockets play kind of benefits you early on. And once things slow down and everybody kind of figures out the flow, I feel like it changes a little bit. Now, the one thing the Rockets did do over the weekend is they avoided the Clippers. You got to give them props for that, but I'm not going to sit here and act like yesterday's win meant more than just another win, because I think that the style that they play benefits you early on when basketball starts returning. So I don't want to sit here and act like, you know, all of a sudden I'm looking at the Rockets differently than I already did. I thought they were a threat. I thought it was important to avoid the Clippers. And if anything, this weekend, the Mavericks dropped two. The Rockets will not be facing the Los Angeles Clippers in the first round, which I think is a very, very good thing. So it's a successful weekend, but I don't think it's like some sort of pivotal. That right there is what we've been looking for, and that's more than just a win yesterday.
Well, I think what's going on here is you're posturing for the postseason. Everything's going to change again once the postseason starts. I'll put it that way. All right, because it's good news. Rockets, you can't diminish these two wins. Clearly, with the two teams you faced, that was important. So you can't diminish it, but at the same time, just recognize that it's gonna be a whole different look again once the postseason starts.
So the Rockets get the two dubs. Astros take 2 of 3 from the Angels. My goodness, could it have been any more interesting for the Stros? Friday, you had the 9-6 W. I call it the day of Big Tuck. Mm-hmm. The day of Kyle Tucker, 4 RBIs, 3 hits, and a stolen base. in that one. Then,
what happened?
Saturday, you had the day of Greinke. Zach Greinke goes out there and does his thing. He was great. Retired the first 16 batters that he had. We had some Greinke grunts. We had everything good, everything looking good. George Springer, welcome back.
Yep.
Two-run bomb to send it to extra innings in the ninth. And then all of a sudden, it looks like the Astros are en route to a win. Roberto Osuna goes out on the mound. And after getting one out and then an infield single, Osuna looks over to the dugout, points to that forearm, leaves on a jet plane for Houston. He's going to be evaluated. That right there.
Was it a forearm strain?
They haven't said it yet. Forearm strains are to the Astros as hamstring pulls are to the Texans.
Yeah.
They haven't said it yet, but you've lost your best starter and you've lost your best reliever. And I don't want to jump the gun here, J-Lo, but I'm going to jump the gun here, J-Lo.
Mm-hmm.
Roberto Osuna, before the season, Dusty was talking about him almost like, you know, this guy's going to be a week away. He's not ready. He's not on a mound. And then in game two, in a five-run game, he goes out there and gets some work in. And then all of a sudden against the Dodgers, he's pitching two innings. And you can sit here and tell me he pitched he only threw eight pitches in one inning. No, for a reliever, when you're going out there and you're gassing out like that, once you're done with an inning and then you go back out there, it can take a lot out of you. So I don't want to say that Dusty rushed Osuna and overworked him, but it does make you raise the eyebrows when we listen to what Dusty said about Osuna, and then all of a sudden the guy's out there like Mariano effing Rivera, almost cussed, and the dude has a forearm strain all of a sudden. I'm telling you, it makes you raise the eyebrows a little bit, and you talk about Dusty overworking pitchers. If Osuna's out, I don't know. I don't even know what to say about it, J-Lo.
I think you know, you can talk a lot about specific things that Dusty Baker has done in the short sample size, the small sample size of things that we've seen from the Astros. And we will. We will talk about those. But I think the broader stroke here is Dusty still is old school in his soul.
Mm.
And he trusts players to a fault.
Mm.
I think what you can point back to with Dusty Baker over and over again is he's trusted his players, which can be a good thing, but on an abbreviated season with an even more abbreviated, quote, spring training, it's a flaw because he's trusted, Verlander for big innings, you know, and he got hurt. Verlander had the short ramp up after surgery, and that, look how that ended up. He trusted Greinke. You know,
which I had no issue with. You didn't like him leaving Greinke in. I thought it was good that Greinke at least felt good enough to stay in on Saturday.
I liked it. But the manager has to make that call for you sometimes. I wouldn't want to come out. Would you want to come out? Hell no.
No.
Hell, no one would. I'm just saying, you know, he trusted him to a flaw. I think you can go back to some other pitching decisions that he's made. You and I have talked about Framber, you know, on Friday, I believe it was.
Last week. Dodgers game one.
Yeah. I thought he trusted him to a fault. And then he trusted Osuna, who wasn't even throwing off a mound when the season was about to start, with critical save opportunities and pitching opportunities. And then look what happened to him.
The OG John Lopez, Landry Locker, Figgy Fig with you. Business picking up. Two things about Dusty. And these are my two observations about the Strohs. And after every Strohs game, obviously the post-game show here on Sports Radio 610 with yours truly. Number one, I think that there have been probably six times that in nine games that I've watched a reliever leave it all out on the mound, and I've said, that was a hell of an outing by the reliever, and the son bitch is walking out on the mound the next inning. that's what I feel like I've seen with Dusty Baker, where I felt like, wow, that was great. Good job. And all of a sudden, he's walking back out there for an inning. I want to preface that, or I want to say after, this is a unique situation for Dusty Baker, in which he has 10 pups in the pen that are making their big leagues debuts. So you got to take that into account. But observation two, and this is interesting because you and I have had this discussion about AJ Hinch and Dusty Baker. I feel like Dusty Baker would have almost been the right guy to manage the Astros the last 3 years, the 3 years previous when they were just better than everybody. And you could just go out there. You could go on your gut. The bullpen was basically laid out for you to where you knew it was going to be Harris. You knew it was going to be Presley. You knew it was going to be Osuna, and it was laid out. I thought he would have been the right guy. But in this situation, it's a unique situation. I almost feel like Hinch's managing style might actually have benefited the Astros a little bit more with the way that stuff is, with the analytics, with the bullpen, and all that type of stuff.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. I know he would have been a really good, nothing against Phil Garner, really good manager for the Biggio and the Astros, the hardened, old school, you know, veteran guys that you don't have to tell a thing. I know he'd have been good for those guys.
Now, we go to Sunday, yesterday with the Astros. Framber Valdez saved their ass.
Big time.
Framber Valdez yesterday could have thrown six innings and given up 10 runs, and it would have been a successful outing because he saved the bullpen. Six and a third of quality work for Framber Valdez. He saved them, and then you had the Astros win in extra innings. We talk about the bullpen, and I'm guilty of it, but the Astros' bats are the problem right now. Could I interest you in a stat courtesy of Chandler Rome?
Yes, absolutely.
The Astros have taken a major league best 139 plate appearances with runners in scoring position. They're hitting .246.
Yeah.
They're second in the league in runs scored, but I feel like that's misleading because I feel like most of their runs have come in like chunk innings. The
right.
Five runs, the four runs, those innings. I feel like it's kind of misleading when it comes to the
scored nine on Friday.
The Astros running. Yeah, I feel like the offensive numbers are kind of misleading when it comes to the Astros.
I feel like you're right. Their offense is not good right now. I mean, it's awesome to see Springer coming to life a little bit in short doses. But even, you know, across the board, Altuve, I mean, they had multiple chances to end this thing earlier. And couldn't convert with other guys at the plate. Correa, Altuve, even the youngster, you know, Tucker, you know, had his spurt of good offense, and then he's been back down. Their offense is just not well.
No, it's not well. And the pitching is, it's more than you would expect. Josh James yesterday, three innings, allowed one hit, and it was a grand slam to Albert Pujols. In six innings, Josh James has 11 walks.
Yeah.
11 walks.
I like his attitude, though. I don't know if I like him much more after today.
His attitude is really weird. Zach Greinke is known for being blunt. Josh James, I'm not sure that
he's an optimist.
Josh James, I'm not sure that Josh James is really I don't know what to make of Josh James and his attitude. So this guy gives up a grand slam to Albert Pujols. He's allowed 11 walks in two innings. Listen to how, I don't know if it's delusional, I don't know if it's optimistic or what. Listen to Josh James talking about his outing yesterday.
Body feels good. I think that's the theme of this as many seasons, just to stay healthy and do what I, you know, and make every start. So I'm excited. I feel great. Arm feels good. So my plan is to go in and you know, throw more strikes than I did my last start. So pound the zone and be aggressive and make them hit the ball.
So that was his plan before. Here's him after he does that. Here is Josh James talking about how great he did yesterday, despite what our eyes obviously told us. Josh James, your command's a little off, wouldn't you say?
I mean, it's weird. It's weird because you say command issues, and I did some really good things.
What?
I mean, obviously the walks were an issue.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm executing some pitches that last year I couldn't execute. I think it's, you know, it's going to take some time, and you know, I'm going to piece it together and the good stuff, and you know, and minimize the walks. And I mean, I only gave up one hit, you know. If I just, you know, force them to beat me and you know, put stuff in the zone a little bit better, and you know, it's a different outcome. So When you say, you know, command issue, I don't look at it that way.
anything
What's
else for
like
Josh?
Watching these extra inning games.
This is a guy who is lobbying for his job publicly. I'm telling you, Landry, he knows you can't. He's lobbying Dusty and Brent Strom publicly to stay in the mix. This is a guy that is lost in terms of command. Mm-hmm. I like his optimism, but I think a lot of it has to do with just wanting to keep his job.
Hey, Josh James, very optimistic, very strange. Lot to get into here on In the Loop Sports Radio 610, 713-572-4610. If you want to get in, shout out to the Loopholes. If you listen, you are a loophole. I've never gotten more text messages about one person than I did Jack Easterby over the weekend. There's a new, most polarizing guy in town. let's try to make some sense of it, and let's try to figure out who the hell is missing at Texans training camp, because someone is. Bill O'Brien, Jack Easterby told us that much. We'll get into that next.
I'm blessed.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
My phone almost broke over the weekend with text messages.
Should have gotten a Droid.
Well, I'm not going to get into that iPhone Droid thing. But after Jack Easterby had his first Q&A with the media on Friday, I haven't gotten that many text messages about any figure in Houston in the last probably 10 years, J-Lo. Like, what Easterby said, which according to some wasn't much,
had I'm a people
the internet
person.
Going nuts. The text line blew up. Sean Pendergast was listening to us at Avalon Diner, and he logged on the text line because he thought I was exaggerating, and he couldn't believe it.
Yo.
Jack Easterby has a lot of people having a lot of opinions about what he says or didn't say. What was your reaction to hearing from Jack Easterby in a Q&A setting for the first time?
Well, we had that immediate reaction because it was on our airwaves here. But then after you have a chance to sort of, sit on it for a day or two, it really didn't change that much. He's a guy, first of all, I envisioned you and Figgy kind of rubbing your hands in an evil way like a villain in an old movie, because of all the drops that you might be able to get out of this thing. And I don't think I was wrong, was I?
Thank you so much, John. I hope you're well.
Case in point. So I envisioned that, first of all. But he was a guy that, you have to connect with the audience at large. And clearly, you and I, we're not like, the last thing we are is rolling our eyes at people of faith. You and I both go to church. We both right. are religious.
I was so blessed.
So is Figgy, all that. But when you get hammered over the head with it in the context of football discussion, right? So we can talk about faith and religion and being blessed all you want in that environment. But in a football environment, when you're having a discussion about, and for the first time, mind you, that you've had a Q&A, you're having a discussion about football, and the organization and the future organization and your impact on the organization, that's not the time, to have your inspiring speech about.
Before I answer that question, let me take it away from this specific situation in sports.
That's my point. That's not, that's why it did not resonate. That's why you and I and Figgy and I think a lot of people watching, listening, kind of rolled our eyes.
I'm talking like
we kind of rolled our eyes.
I'm talking like 15 different people asking me what.
Yeah.
What the hell
you were not alone. I could show you the text.
Yeah. It was a little bit interesting. Mm-hmm. And here's just an example of Jack Easterby's first media session. So he gets asked a question. I left the question in there for context. Sarah Barship, who, good Lord, you're the MVP of press conferences. Sarah Barship, ESPN, just be out there asking the questions. So she asks Easterby straight up about players opting out. And just listen to the answer here. I'm not sure what exactly I'm supposed to make of this. We know that based on what B.O.B., based on what Easterby has said, and B.O.B. answered directly, based on what he said, that they haven't had full participation, and mm-hmm. there's still some guys who haven't checked in. But here's Sarah Barship asking, who I consider the most polarizing guy in town now, Jack Easterby, about full participation for the Houston Texans. And just listen to this tangent that happens after the question.
Other than Eddie, have you talked to any players who have talked about opting out this season?
I don't think as you talk to players, you necessarily talk to them with a specific end in mind, right? Uh-huh. Is that we're in a different environment right now. The players have just entered the building, and so you don't start with the end in mind in any conversation. You just listen. You have to be a great listener.
What did they say about it?
Players are going through it. Staff are going through it. Everybody's going through it. And so we just have to, as a staff, be great listeners. So, yes, I've tried to lend my ear to all the players and as best I can be there for them and our staff as we walk through the first, let's call it couple weeks of doing this full speed. To be available for any trepidations or hesitations somebody might have. So we've tried to be there for everybody.
What?
Like, what did he say?
That's a really smart guy sidestepping a direct question.
Well, and this is the example here, J-Lo, mm-hmm. is we've accused Bill O'Brien of that, but you just heard the answer from Easterby. Bill O'Brien, here's Bill O'Brien's response to the exact same question. Bill O'Brien asked the exact same question as Jack Easterby. This is Bill O'Brien's response.
I think we'll release an official deal on that. I would say that as of right now, no, but...
That's all you had to do.
We're still, the way that we did it, we staggered the arrivals, so it doesn't mean anything other than that this, it's not 100% yet.
There it is. That's like right there, Bill O'Brien, right to the point.
All you had to do.
I honestly think that if Easterby is available as much as Bill O'Brien, and I'm not saying this out of, I think Easterby is an asset to an organization. I think it's going to make Bill O'Brien look better. I think it's going to make Bill O'Brien look better because right there, they answered the same question. Bill O'Brien gave you what you needed in 10 seconds. Easterby started talking about leading, listening, all this type of stuff. I have no idea what was going on, but right there, Bill O'Brien, boom, yeah. Bada bing, bada boom, answer, there it is.
I think you're right. I think you're absolutely right. That's a good theory. But he was asked specifically, have any players told you about opting out? Well, I don't talk to them. I listen. Yes, okay. So – while this listening thing is going on, did any of them say anything about opting out?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I don't really talk to him about it. I just listen. Okay.
Here's more from Easterby on his relationship with Bill O'Brien, because we know that they are connected. We know Easterby does a lot of things. Here's Easterby on his relationship with B.O.B.
I've just tried in everything that I can do as a friend and as a coworker to serve him. Day one, we've done this together. We've received this protocol and we've done it together. We've set the building up together. We thought about the schedule together, been texting and talking through it, because I don't think necessarily there's one moment where you ever figure it all out. I think it's about just stay at the table, support, encourage, love, tell the truth. Because in some ways it can be a raw environment for all of us, you know, me particularly, as I try to lead and serve this group. And so, you know, coach has been great. We've done it together. My goal is just to serve him and serve everybody in this building by being there for them if they need to talk. If someday they're not okay, which will probably happen to all of us at some point, I think we've done it together, and I'm going to support him and his family night and day to try to make sure we have a great season this year as best we can.
What?
Figgy, how long was that? Was that response?
45 seconds, or actually 53 seconds.
Okay. What did he say?
I don't know. I have no idea. I have a theory on Easterby.
I think he could be president. I'm telling you straight up.
I have a theory on Easterby.
Because it sounds cool.
You know what Easterby is to me? Like we talk about his role and we talk about what he is. He reminds me of my stepbrother-in-law.
You have a stepbrother-in-law.
I have a stepbrother-in-law, and my stepbrother-in-law is an athletic director. And athletic directors work very hard. They'll leave at 8 a.m., and they'll come back at midnight, and they'll be exhausted. If the grass needs to be mowed, they're going to mow the grass. If the facility needs to be clean, they're going to clean. If you need uniforms, they're going to have the uniforms. If the coach needs something, they're going to take care of it. I think Easterby is almost like an athletic director. But I don't know that is something that you want, and that is someone that you want making decisions like trading guys and salary cap and stuff like that. I think he's an asset to an organization, but I don't – just based on the moves that have been made since he's been here, and he could end up making me look really dumb, but the football personnel moves that have been made that Bill O'Brien has said that he has a hand in, I don't necessarily like. But I think when it comes to performing tasks that normally an athletic director at a high school or a college, and he brought up athletic directors in his media session, I think he is an asset, but I just don't know if he's really like a guy that you want making like the decisions when it comes to personnel and stuff.
I'm a people person.
Don't get me wrong. He is that. But I just don't know about like as far as being an exec, J-Lo.
I think that's another good point by you. But, you know, like I said, when you kind of sat on it for overnight, slept on it, and then you kind of pondered it again, it's like, what happened? What did he say?
I came back and listened to it over the weekend, and I was like, okay.
I listened to it again.
Yeah. By the way, we missed something because there was a closing statement.
I
that
know.
He made
we left early.
We left early, but here was the closing statement from the most interesting man in H-Town, Jack Easterby, a message for the media types and a message for the city of H-Town.
This has been a great experience for me to add empathy to just how much healthcare workers matter in our country, how much doctors matter in our country, how much athletic training, how much nutrition, how much sanitation, all those things matter in our country, in our offices, and in all the different places all over the country. They just matter.
Okay, so it all matters.
It all matters. And I'm not going to beat him up for that too much. I think everybody wants to hear from the executives. I think everybody wants to hear from the executives on what's going on in the world, but not the whole 40 minutes or whatever it was.
Here is the closing statement. That was everything mattering, and that's one of his catchphrases. Here was the closing statement that really made me raise my eyebrows.
All you guys on the call, I totally have a great empathy for just how much this is changing your job, how much it's changing all of our jobs. I know that it's a challenging time for everybody, and hopefully we can do right by you and right by our team at the same time. So you'll be getting tested. Some of you guys will be getting tested too. So you'll get to test out the test site. And thank you for covering our team. And hopefully during this year, we'll give some positive stories for a hurting country and a hurting city in a lot of ways. I think that's very, very important in this type of environment, okay? So thank you for making time today, and thanks for covering our team, okay?
Okay.
I think this is the thing, though, and I hope that he understands this. Any Texan story in this climate, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it's I don't have a play, whether it's the Texans are winning, is positive. So just being able to talk about the Texans is positive. That's positive all in itself. But that's the most polarizing guy in town. He did have a defender, though. Mm-hmm. I had someone over yesterday. It's a familiar voice. You'll hear someone who was blown away by Jack Easterby. And let me just give you a little hint. He's thought about Eric Gordon in the shower before. So we'll hear that. We're also going to hear from Deshaun Watson. There was a defender of Deshaun Watson on the national stage who might have been the worst defense attorney ever. And we got some candid words from the face of the franchise over the weekend. That's next.
I was thinking about Eric Gordon in the shower last.
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
All right, so I was really high on Houston sports yesterday, and I knew that we were going to get an off day, a much-needed breather to just sit back, watch hoops, not have a heart attack watching the Stros and Rockets. So I decided to have a few beers with an old friend, Mike Meltzer.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Meltzer, as you know, always has strange takes. Jack Easterby has the internet going nuts. Mike Meltzer said he was impressed with Easterby and thought there was a lot of good things that Bill O'Brien's right-hand man had to say. I decided to do what any good radio host would do, J-Lo.
Pulled out that phone.
Roll tape. Here's Mike Meltzer talking about why he was so impressed.
That guy is awesome.
A press conference that most of us were confused by. Here's Mike Meltzer yesterday as we sipped on our hipster sauce beer.
Okay.
Is what I was sipping on. Here's Mike Meltzer's explanation, and he's in rare form, of why he loved that press conference so much on Friday.
You are not being serious right now.
I'm not saying I'd have him as the GM or VP or whatever the hell he is.
So what made him sound good?
I just thought the audio quality was good. He sounded like he knew what he was talking about. He was talking about procedures and stuff.
What do you mean the audio quality?
Like
a Zoom quality?
Yeah, it was good quality. It sounded like it was like an actual microphone. Like, I don't know.
So what has that got to do with him sounding good?
The whole thing, I was listening, I'm like, I'm kind of impressed, actually.
You are not serious right now.
Well, I think you're so angry at the media for asking lousy questions that you're not focusing on the substance of his answers.
What? Was he drunk?
He had a few. I mean, the audio quality was good.
I really like that Easterby press conference. Why? Because it sounded good. What did he say?
It was good microphone quality.
Not much, but I'm impressed. Be impressed with the engineer. I mean,
absolutely hilarious. Deshaun Watson. Easterby had some good things to say about Deshaun Watson. We love our quarterback here in H-Town. We love Deshaun Watson. I've said it 100 times. I'm a whore for four. And I feel like sometimes he doesn't get the respect he deserves. But, you know, the most awkward thing is when
someone is on your side, but they do a poor job defending your opinion. That's the most awkward thing there is. I was listening to the network, Carrington Harrison, who works at 610 out there in Kansas City. He does a weekend show. And there was a Houston caller that called in and defended Deshaun Watson. And I got to tell you, I'm all about going to bat for my QB, but I don't want this guy going to bat for me.
David is in Houston. Go ahead, David.
Carrington Harrison. You're the host of the sports talk show in Kansas City, home of the Kansas City Chiefs, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Well, my team, the Houston Texans, I think should be in that upper tier where Kansas City with Pat Mahomes, Baltimore with Lamar Jackson. Why are you singling out Deshaun Watson?
I don't think that Watson is elite in the same way that those other two guys are.
He is an elite. He's an elite quarterback. Just tell me why.
I don't think he's put together that season that those other guys have had or have the weapons around them in the same way. What are you saying?
You're stumbling your words there.
Okay. He has one playoff win in his career. I don't look at him at the same way.
I disagree, sir. You know, he doesn't have the type of offensive coordinator that he's going to have this year. He's a playmaker. Deshaun Watson makes things happen on the football field. Because, like, his former college coach says he is the Michael Jordan of professional football.
That proves it.
He's MVP caliber.
Have you seen an MVP-level season from him since he's been in the NFL? Because I don't think we've seen that season from him. You know who's had that season? Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago when he threw 50 touchdowns.
Well, we will. Open your eyes. He moves up to the top. He's the playmaker. He definitely is a playmaker. Open your eyes.
Open your eyes, man. I look. You're right, though. You know, his point is relatively valid. I wouldn't call him on elite because elite quarterbacks do what Lamar Jackson and Patrick Mahomes did, but he's on that path. And you can project all you want. Hey, his college coach compared to Michael Jordan, I think that's where he's going to get. Okay, you think that's where he's going to get. That doesn't mean where he is now.
Not good defense. Deshaun Watson seems to have a little bit of an edge. He met with the media types over the weekend. It seems like he's a little bit more firm in what he says. He was, of course, asked about DeAndre Hopkins and the new guys. This is what the quarterback of your Houston Texans had to say about trading DeAndre Hopkins and the new weapons that Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby have provided him with.
It's definitely a little different because his locker was across from me. So, you know, every time, you know, this is my fourth year. So the last 3 years I would come in and, of course, I would have seen him and, you know, chopped it up with him and talked to him about, you know, the offseason and different things. But, you know, that's part of the business, something that the organization and had decided to do. But we got some great guys that came in, veteran guys who played a lot of football coming in and ready to work. You know, we definitely have a good addition, and, you know, we try to put all the pieces together and build that chemistry.
Deshaun Watson still has a problem with them trading DeAndre Hopkins, but he is such a smart guy and polished. I mean, he's a polished person in terms of what he says publicly, and I thought he handled that pretty well, but he made it very clear while handling it very well that he still has a problem with it.
And he also has voiced his, you know, concerns about the organization. Here's Deshaun Watson talking about Pat Mahomes' contract and his new focus heading into the 2020 season.
It was awesome. It was awesome for him to be able to, you know, achieve, you know, something so big and get what he deserved. I actually texted him that day when the news came out, and he texted right back. You know, the friendship and the bond that we have has been, you know, great ever since, you know, high school, from the Elite 11 to college, all that. You know, that was definitely dope. And my representation and the organization has definitely been talking. But, you know, timing is everything. Right now I'm just focused on football and on my team and building this chemistry and building this offense, trying to speed up the process to getting on the same page, you know, so we can be ready for September 10th. Now my main focus is staying healthy and making sure this team is ready to play.
All right, so you know he didn't give you much there, but you know Mark Berman's going to go in there lurking. Mark Berman's going to ask that follow-up.
and he doesn't give a damn if he's annoying you or not. By the way, Dusty Baker seems very annoyed with Mark Berman.
He'll grow on him. I've noticed. Berman initially is going to be very aggravating for everybody, but then you realize that's just him.
But I think Dusty's first taste of it is the Zoom, so it's a little bit pesty. He's kind of bothering him. But you know Mark Berman, following that question from Deshaun Watson, because he is the hardest working media type, is going to go right in for the kill.
Deshaun, while you say your focus is football, how important is it to get something done on this deal before the season, and if not before the season, sooner rather than later?
Like I said, the football is my main focus. My agent knows the time. My biggest thing, like I've always been wanting to do since I was a little kid, is just play football, win championship, win games, and compete. So, like I said before, that my agent is taking care of that, and that's – you know, with him in the organization, my main focus is being the quarterback and the leader of this team and making sure we're ready for September 10th.
Deshaun Watson, in those last two responses, put on a seminar on how to handle a big-time negotiation like this. I mean, he did it perfectly. He turned everything back to football, but he made it very clear, my agent, my representation,
gonna handle that business,
is handling this. And he also made it clear that he wants it, you know, but he's not going to stomp his feet and say, pay me, Rick, or, you know, anything like that. I thought he just handled it perfectly.
He's got all the leverage.
And he could use it.
What's stopping him from asking for more money than Mahomes? What's stopping him?
Well, they may well be. I mean, they may well be asking for more or as much or whatever. All I'm saying is the way he's handling it is really the way you're supposed to do it.
He doesn't have the weapons Mahomes has. They don't have the organizational stability. He might be, I don't want to say more important because I think Mahomes is the best QB in the league, but for success purposes, he has to do more for this team to succeed at the level Mahomes does. I'll just put it that way.
And that'll be part regardless. Of the negotiation.
That'll be part of it. It will come up. Brandon Scott, SportsRadio610.com's Brandon Scott, followed up with Deshaun Watson. We heard what he had to say about the state of the Texans organization. Brandon Scott with a great, 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 did I say great enough? Great question about the state of the Texans organization as Deshaun does head into those negotiations and the 2020 season.
Hey Deshaun, as a leader now and going into your fourth year, what is it that you need to see from this Texans organization for you to want to commit to a long-term deal like what Patrick Mahomes agreed to, or for you to want to be here long-term? What do you need to see from the organization?
I'm here. I love this organization. I love them and their family. I love the coaching staff. I love the coaches. I love the players. I love the city. I love the fan base. So right now my main focus is continue to be a Houston Texan and making sure that I'm bringing everything I can and doing everything I can to bring the city and this organization his first championship. So that's my main focus. And right now I'm a Houston Texan and you know the future is gonna tell itself, but you know I'm locked in on being a Texan.
See, I'm here, but right now he says.
He just drops little tiny all three answers are more, you know, the big focus is it's all about football, my agent's handling it, right? On all these things. And that was a really good question from B. Scott, by the way. You know, what do you need to see from the organization? Very specific in order to make that long-term commitment. He answered it the same way. Turned it to football. I'm committed. I love these people. But he drops these little tiny hints. Like he said in there, the future is going to tell itself. You know, so that's kind of like saying, we'll see, basically, what you know, if these guys are going to be around, if they surround me with the right things, if I feel comfortable, if we're successful enough, if Bill O'Brien is the answer. You can interpret that in that, you know, the future will tell itself, but everything else was handled just great.
He's watching his peers elevate themselves above him.
Yeah.
I mean, he's watching Lamar Jackson be voted the best player in the league. He's watching Pat Mahomes be voted the fourth best player in the league, and people think that he got screwed. And then Watson's sitting there at 20. I'm telling you. We talk about 2020 and how important of a year it is for Bill O'Brien, regardless of what's going on. Deshaun Watson is not – let me put it this way. If 2 years from now the Texans are still in the same place, Deshaun Watson is not just going to sit around and watch this. I feel completely confident that we're watching the transformation of a franchise quarterback who is not going to just sit around and tread water for a long time and not take that next step. If things don't improve – and if there's not tangible proof that this organization knows what the hell they're doing when they're trading guys like DeAndre Hopkins and bringing in the guys that they're bringing in, he's not just going to sit there and be quiet. I'm telling you, he's not going to. And quite frankly,
Yeah.
Hand clap, because I don't want someone just sitting around letting things be good. I want my franchise quarterback to speak out and be vocal. He ain't gonna sit around and tread water. That's not the goal that this guy has in mind. He has bigger goals. So Bill O'Brien, Easterby, they better look smart this year, or else the franchise quarterback ain't gonna buy into everything.
Don't mistake, you know, the couth that he's handling this, the propriety with which he's handling this, with a lack of, I guess, hunger to get what he wants. Because he definitely has that hunger. He's just not saying it as bluntly as others have.
Here's Deshaun Watson on finding out the DeAndre Hopkins news. This was, you know, a question. It's not going to go away until the season starts. This is Deshaun Watson talking about the DeAndre Hopkins news, where he found it out, so on and so forth.
I found out after a workout, and it was just, of course, out the blue, different. I wasn't expecting it, but, you know, like I said, it that's just the way the business goes, and that's something that, you know, I have pretty much no control of. So, you know, the organization had to do what they had to do, and, you know, D-Hop, you know, he had to do what he had to do. So, you know, we still, you know, have a relationship, we still have a bond, but, you know, it was just different, of course.
Again, you know, he made it clear without being, you know, throwing anybody under the bus.
I'm telling you this right now. This is something we need to look at the next 5 weeks. I'm serious, because we're 5 weeks and 3 days away from the opening of the season. DeAndre Hopkins hadn't got a new contract yet. If DeAndre Hopkins steps on the field for the Arizona Cardinals this year without a new contract, that's a bad look for Bill O'Brien, because they talked about him needing the new contract. If Nuke Hopkins does not get that new contract and he's playing for the Arizona Cardinals in 5+ weeks, which could very well happen, it's a bad look for the Houston Texans. Sarah Barship asked a perfect follow-up question. Good Lord, Sarah Barship's doing her thing.
She's bringing it.
So we know Deshaun didn't like the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Sarah Barship just straight up asked, we know you didn't like it. Why was it so important not to voice your displeasure with the move?
Deshaun, why was it so important for you not to publicly criticize or really comment on the Hopkins trade and just trust that Bill was doing the right thing for the organization?
Because that's not my pay raise. That's not, I can't control that. You know, I feel the way I feel, but it's not my place and time to be able to, you know, speak on that, because I didn't know the whole background story on what exactly happened. You know, that's their business and that's, you know, their lane. I'm not going to step on my lane and get in that. But I know that me and Hop have a great relationship. I know that me and OB have a great relationship, but that's something that I can't play both sides in. I'm just going to sit in the middle and watch it from afar, and, you know, that's their business, and I'm not going to get into it.
That is so good. He again, the little hint. I know what I think, but I'm not going to go there. It's above my pay grade, you know. So he's just real good at being a pro, handling it the right way, but sort of letting you know how he might feel about it without directly saying so.
And notice he said, not my place, but he also said, not my time.
Yeah.
I think as time goes on, if it looks like a bad move, I think it will be the time for Deshaun Watson to voice his displeasure. It'll be time for him to make some power moves. So better look smart. We're about 5 weeks and change away. We'll see what the Texans look like without DeAndre Hopkins. Very candid stuff from Deshaun Watson. Zach Greinke is a loophole. Who knew? And are people already out on Dusty Baker? Plus a heartwarming story from the Stros over the weekend next.
Good storytelling skills.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.